Did you know we all have a co-creation covenant? Well, I believe that's true. I believe that when we come to the earth, that we have made a covenant to be a co-creator of life. Now, it may have specifics and individual, of course, your individual stamp on it and your unique soul expression that comes through that. But there is, in general, I think, an agreement that we have that, yes, I will co-create with Spirit, I will partner with Spirit, and even bigger than that, I will act on behalf of Spirit because I have the gift of being an embodied being on earth, with a heart and a body and all these things I am capable of doing. And so if we think about this idea, then as we go through our life journey, we realize that there are going to be life's ups and downs, right? Sometimes things just simply don't go our way, and sometimes we're just clipping along, and everything just seems like it is wind beneath our wings. And so let me just slow down for a minute, because there's like, something moving here. Yeah, in the field, I feel you. You feel each other? Yeah, there's stuff moving here, or stuff that wants to move. Maybe it feels a little stuck, but there's stuff that wants to move here. So I'm just going to say a little prayer here, or big prayer. Thank you, Spirit, for being with us, for walking with us, for allowing us to be channels to the source, from the source, as the source, to take up this co-creative covenant that we have agreed to, and let us be your hands, your heart, your voice, your truth. Yes? Yes, all of us. We're here together in this, whatever this is. And whatever this is kind of like the old joke about the guys looking around the elephant, right? And it's like one sees the tail and thinks it's a brush, and one sees the ear and thinks it's something else. And there's all these different perspectives happening too. So we're swirling in a world of perspective. And we all have individual perspectives and ideas, and we think we're right and we got it. Well, today we're going to blow open that channel too, right? Because it constricts us in such a way. We're going to open up our perspective and open up our channel for Spirit. That's our intention today. So on this journey, there are life's ups and downs, and things come and go, and every time it returns us again and again to this co-creative covenant that we have made. That yes, Spirit, I agreed, I will be here, I will be a co-creator with you, and the co is really, I'll be the follow, right? I'll be in service too. It's not so much, you know, we let Spirit, the truth of us, the divine in us, take the lead. This is always the quest, isn't it? To get the rest of us, the egoic mind, the rest of us, to be in that position of follow. Somebody once said it really well, to say, you know, the saying, God is my co-pilot. And she said, I don't really want God to be my co-pilot. I want God to be the pilot. And then just tell me what to do. And I was like, yeah, that's actually a little bit better, isn't it? And so what is God? What is God but the allness, the permeating presence of the universe, and also the I am, the truth of our being. So we dance in this idea that we are in a relationship with something bigger than us, but we are also it. And so that is always the journey, the first two principles in unity, God is and I am. So back to this idea of the co-creation covenant. Derek Riedel is the author of The Abundance Project that we're studying throughout this fall, and he refers to this universal contract. Yeah, Laurel's showcasing the book. Thank you, Laurel. And he says, you know, you gotta notice, too, that there's some small print. And he says this about the small print. The small print on the universal contract states that it doesn't always work out the way you want at first. In the short term, things may fall apart, and when they do, it doesn't always feel good. Right? Jesus must have known and said this about his own co-creation contract when he got word that his good friend Lazarus was very ill. And I bet he felt a little bit of foreboding around this because he had also a kind of knowing, it seems, of what was to come around this situation. And he ignored the message, which was probably implied or direct, come on, Jesus, come back to your friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house and do your healing thing, you know? The healing thing you've been doing for everybody else, that you've been demonstrating this thing where you help people find, and what he always said, right? You are made whole by your own faith. I'm not the healer. I'm just here to help initiate the healing power to come through you, to stand and to hold a space for you, for the immense channel that you are and the immense possibilities that can come through you and become as you. And so he gets this notice, and for a few days he just sits on it. And then when he gets the notice that Lazarus has died is when he and his friends gather up, his followers, and make the several days journey back to Mary and Martha's and to the tomb now of their brother Lazarus. And Mary and Martha are a little hot under the collar, so to speak, that he has not come sooner and done his healing thing. Why did you not come? They say, we sent you a message. Why didn't you come earlier? Why didn't you heal our brother? Why didn't you save him from this demise? And Jesus has to hold this space and hold his co-creative covenant in mind of what it is that he is about to do. He's on a mission there to demonstrate the ever-widening of our channel, the possibilities that can come forth for us, the breaking down of limited paradigms, the recognition of the power and the presence that can bring forth miracles of resurrected life. But then, and then, right then in that moment, knowing all of that, he does something really surprising. It's the shortest sentence in the Bible. He wept. Why would he be crying with all this knowing that's going to come forth, right? But yet there was something in him to clear first. There was sadness in him. There was mourning for his friend, even though there was a compassion for the others who felt such a sense of loss and sadness. There was a sense of we weep when there's an ending, an ending of something we want, an ending of something we long for, an ending for a desire, an ending for something we think is right. We weep. Jesus demonstrates for us the power and the presence and the significance of the human heart. That the human heart cannot be ignored, cannot be bypassed, cannot be smoothed over with affirmation when the human heart breaks. And it breaks open with possibility if we tend to it. So to me, Jesus was demonstrating, before he demonstrated how to be the spiritual powerhouse that we all are, how to be a human being that feels. When he came into Jerusalem, he was angry. He knew what was coming at the end of the week. He was going to be crucified and resurrected, right? And so he curses a fig tree, and he walks into the temple, and he sees the sacred temple has been taken over by money changers, and he starts turning tables over. Jesus in a rage, the Prince of Peace in a rage. I love human Jesus. And we need to love our human selves, really give to ourselves, wherever wherever we are on the spectrum, in tears of mourning, in tears of joy, in tears, angry, happy. It doesn't matter where we are as long as we're honoring where we are. And that's what I think he was showing us before he opened up to show us this bigger demonstration. And another aspect of this I think he was showing us is you have to clear your channel. You have to clear your channel before you can go to the next step. It's like the time that he said, don't leave your love offering, don't leave your gift at the altar when you've got something against your brother or your sister. Go and resolve it. Go and resolve this wedge, this rock that you have, this resentment, this grudge, this sadness, this anger. Be with it. Express it. Allow it. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other. Clear the channel first, and then the miracles can happen through you and as you. And so then, he says, roll away the stone. Then, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And everybody is standing around there, all the people, Jesus, his followers, the dubious government officials and religious leaders of the day that want to just curious, want to see, are we bringing this guy down? Or are we helping him up? Like, what's going on here? We got to get some information, got to see what this guy is up to. So we've got this whole mix of folks there, right? And they're looking at a tomb, or are they looking at a womb? They're looking at a death, or are they looking at a resurrection? They don't really know. They're so perplexed. They're so baffled. They're so in the moment of everything coming together, right? When something dies and something is born, and we're on the edge, and we're not sure, and we're standing there. It's like the American people, right? We're all standing there. Is it a tomb, or is it a womb? I don't know. Some people think it's a tomb. Some people think it's a womb. Some of us have no idea. We're all perplexed. We're like, wow. Or, oh, I don't know. We don't know. And you know what? That's just where Spirit wants us. Right? That is the mystery space. That place of the unknown that we all fear. We get right in it. Because there's nowhere else to go. There's no more hiding. Right? We're standing there in the midst of this incredible experience. And it makes us weep, and it makes us open up, and it makes us go, wow, and it makes us go, I don't know, I'm scared, I don't know, I'm happy, I'm hopeful, I'm not, I'm, you know, it's like all of it, right? And I just feel like Jesus is saying, that's right, that's the portal. Let me show you. First, it's the human heart, and then the Spirit can move. So this is our journey, right? Standing around looking at America, womb or tomb, we don't know. Standing with us is the Christ presence. Standing with us is the Christ presence that is saying, here I am, wherever two or more are gathered, here I am in the midst of you. I am the divine presence. Do you think the divine presence, the Christ presence, is red or blue? No. Could give two wits about that stuff, right? What the divine presence is about is truth, is power, is love, is light, is you being you, unique expression you. We need every person, all hands on deck, all perspectives, all hearts, all willing bodies and minds to say yes to their own spirit, to their own path, to their own expression. And to look around and say, I am not a solitary actor on this planet. I am not a solitary actor in this play. Will I be the lead? Maybe I'll surprise myself. Will I be co-lead? Will I start singing solos? God only knows. The possibilities are endless. The only thing that restricts possibility is our minds. The only thing that restricts it is our thoughts. And the only thing that can release us and allow us to be all that we have come here to be, to live into the dreams and the ideals that we have set and our ancestors have set, to be that truth, to be that beacon of hope and possibility for the entire world, is if we change our perspective, change our thoughts, widen our channels, ask for help, and look to each other. So Derek Rydell is talking in this book about not just many channels to the source, but everybody is a channel for your good. Wow. Now, do you want to sit around and cut off half the country and say, nope, can't be my channel for good. You're my channel for bad. You're my channel to clog things up. This will not be effective. What's that? But you want to do it. Some of you want to do it. Sure, we probably all want to do it. A little bit right now, we want to do it. And maybe we will do it now a little bit. You know, because again, it's about honoring how we feel. It's not about bypassing. It's, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I walk through, I don't camp in it, and I don't walk around it. I just keep walking through it, right? Wherever we are. You know, half of us are in tears of joy and half of us are in tears of mourning. We get to see the numbers really clear now, right? It's like, well, we thought this, and it's like, wow, okay, this is where we are. All right, Spirit, there will be a time to rise up and there will be a time to weep, and only you know by trusting your own heart when is the time to weep and when is the time to rise up, when is the time to celebrate and when is the time to keep your channel as wide as it already is or to open it up because it's constricted right now. Only you know what that timing is. Trust it. Trust it. You came wired in with wisdom. You came wired in with access to love and light and power and truth. So Rydell talks about how when we begin to look at each other, we start to look at each other not as separate people and not as that sort of like other separate people idea, but that we are all like stations of one mind, in my words, that we are like a field of possibility and everyone is your channel. That's incredible. That alone is a lot to work with, right? All week long. What if we just worked with that? Everyone is my channel for my good. Everyone is my channel for abundant life. Everyone wants to give me something. And so how do I want to look at that channel? Well, I don't want to squeeze them down to nothing. I don't want to diminish them and say, you've got nothing for me. I don't want to say that you don't have the capacity to be risen up into that higher ground, that truer potential that you are. And the only thing that's stopping is my perception of you. And so instead, we come from that place that says everything in the field is a possibility. All of us are working together for good. And we don't, this is not just a selfish thing like, oh, these are all good channels for me and my good. Because when the channel opens up for you and your good, you open up your channel to be more good for the world. So this isn't about just receiving goodies. This is about receiving the goodies in order to serve, in order to be the conduit, in order to be the wider space through which Spirit can move and co-create to really step into your co-creative covenant. Go back to it like we on the Board of Trustees say we're supposed to be conversant with our bylaws, and something comes up and it takes us right back to the bylaws to review the terms of our bylaws once again. So we get, you know, kicked back to review the terms of our co-creative contract once again, and then we go, oh yeah, right, now I remember, right, I'm supposed to act like as in service to this bigger spirit that I am, and I am that bigger spirit, and so I'm now listening to my heart. I'm now allowing the space to open up so that I can feel the energy running through my body, because my body is not separate from my spiritual being. I am in wholeness. The many channels to the source in me are a heart and a mind and a body and a spirit. So I open up all those channels and I trust myself to tell myself what needs attention now. Do I need to rage? Do I need to cry? Do I need to jump up and celebrate? Do I need to find some like-minded people right now? Maybe that's what you need right now. We don't need to set up camp there. It's just where we maybe need to be right now. Or maybe it's like, come on, Spirit, I'm ready. And so we go back to that terms of the contract and we go, right, I am acting on behalf of the Spirit. I have been given marching orders to be the embodiment of God on earth. Wow, what does that mean? Well, first it means open up the channel. Clear the clogs. Address what's here. And then the Spirit can rise up. And then the stone can roll away. Rydell says that your projection determines your potential. What we project on the everyone is my channel, everyone all around us, he says, how you hold or see someone determines how big or how small a channel they can become for you. He uses an example, a study where there are three teachers, and they tell that one teacher that her students are all above average achievers. They tell another teacher that his students are all below average achievers. And they tell the third teacher that their students are just average. Or they don't tell that. I'm sorry. They tell the third teacher's control group nothing, right? And so at the end of the study, the one that the teacher is projecting onto her students that they are above average has the highest test scores in the district. The one who is thinking of their students as the low achievers has the lowest. And the control group, they're a bunch of average kids, right? It's all up and down. It's a mix. What a powerful, you know, fine point it puts on what we do in the world and how we see each other. And what if everyone really is your channel for good and you for theirs? Wow. And that's the part of the equation we really need to work with is our part of the covenant, right? And our part of the covenant is how I perceive. And so if I perceive that everyone is potentially my channel, I got that. And it's also how I show up. Is my channel clear? Is it clean? Is it current? What do I need to do to clean up my channel, to keep my channel current, open for the electrical impulse of Spirit to move through me, to shine through me, to light up the world, to bring forth the power? It's all available to us, and it's all a matter of how we choose to show up, to be transformational or to be transactional. Now, in the transformational space, he says, you know, people can only rise up, unless they're like super evolved, to the level that you hold them. So if you look around at your life and you think, well, I want my partner or my child or my parent to perform at this level. I want them to show up and meet me at this high level of whatever it is that you're seeking, right? But meanwhile, I'm holding thoughts and judgments and ideas and diminishing limited things about them. I'm projecting onto them all these things. How will they ever rise up to that place if you're holding this place and you're expecting this? You are the one to shift. We are the ones to shift and to bring it up in our perspective so that people can meet us on that higher ground. That's not easy work, right? This is not simple stuff. I mean, sort of simple, but not easy necessarily. And we are wired to do it. We are in a covenant with a divine intelligence of the universe that would not have sent you here if it didn't know that you were more than capable of being this wide open channel of abundant life and goodness. So the default, Rydell says, of the human mind is determining the possibilities by only what we can see, only what we can touch and taste and imagine. But most of the innovations in the world, if you think about it, most of the leaps of faith, most of the breakthroughs that have occurred, and maybe all of them, are outside of our current paradigm. There's a bunch of people hanging around that womb tomb of Lazarus or whatever the womb tomb of today might be, and then their whole paradigm has shifted. What? I didn't know somebody could be brought back from the dead. What? And suddenly now it's possible. Suddenly everybody's mind has been shifted. That I just got that for the first time, that Jesus probably did that publicly because he was soon after going to be resurrected himself, and he wanted people to see what was possible. What is possible for you? Where can you help open up the paradigm for all of us? Because we all have a way that we can do that, and we all get opportunities to do that. And then we go, oh, no, not me. Nah, I don't think I'll rise up to that. Nah, I think I better just sit down. I'm going to sit this one out. I think I'll just turn the TV on, numb out for a while, right? This is us, isn't it? This is us sometimes. It's not where we sit. It's not where we continue to be all the time. And there might be times we just need to do exactly what I just did. But let's not set up camp there. Let's get walking when we're ready to walk, because there's work to do. There's lives, ours and others, to lift up. And we were called to do it. There's a little story in the book of Chronicles I've told before because I love the story of Jabez. His mother named him Jabez, which means he who causes pain, because she bore him in pain during her labor. See, she was in transactional relationship with him. You know, you caused me pain, so I'm gonna name you the one who caused me pain in turn, right? But Jabez did not have transactional relationship on his little mind. He had transformation on his mind. And so he did what he could do. He asked for help. He called upon God and he said, bless me, enlarge my territory, expand my borders, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm so that I do not cause pain. And God granted his request. So often we forget to ask for help. Ask and it is given, right? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. The asking is a big part of the abundant opening. I had a friend whose father, she expected her father to help her during ministerial school. She was one of my housemates, and she was so upset that he had money and he wasn't giving her money. And so she finally ran up against this wall one day and went, oh my gosh, I've been seeing my father as my source. He's not my source. He's just one channel. And so she stopped worrying about that and got busy opening up some other channels, and she was doing just fine. And then one day she realized, you know, I kept expecting him to give to me, but I never really asked him. So she called him up and asked him, and he gladly sent her a check. This is what we often do, right? We hold all these expectations and stories and all this stuff about other people, and it's like, have you asked? Maybe they'd love to give, because you know what? When they give to you, it opens up their channel for giving, and it opens up your channel for receiving, and then you want to give more. And this is how we work together in these stations of the one mind across this beautiful planet, like points of light, not darkness. Yes, we have moments of darkness. Yes, we are both dark and light. But ultimately, there is a spirit in us that is so bright and wants to illuminate through you and as you this entire world. Bless me, enlarge my territory, expand my borders. Let that be our prayer, so that we know that we can be that channel, that we can increase that channel and be wide receivers and givers. Life never withholds from us. It just keeps giving and giving and giving. The only thing that changes is our thought about it. We call it bad, we call it good, we play in the relative realm. Spirit is holding the absolute realm, the place that says, you're okay. You're more than okay. You're a channel for amazing potential. And if your heart is hurting, cry. If your mind is raging, find a safe place to express your anger. If you need connection, if you need celebration, if you need acknowledgement, whatever you need, it's here for you. Be kind, be clear, be current, be the channel for good that you have come here to be. That's what we're about. We're in transformational relationship with one another. And we remember now, I do have a co-creation covenant. And I'm stepping into it again now. Doesn't that sound good? Do you want one of those? You have it. Sound good to step into it? All right, let's do it. I invite us, and thank you all who are online watching with us today. We include you in this, and we sort of hear you speaking your affirmation with us. Together, I am a clear channel for Source and in transformational relationships with all other channels of life. And so it is.